The reading is from the book of James, chapter 3, starting at verse 13 and reading through to chapter 4, verse 3, with verses 7 and 8 then added on. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. So as we continue our journey through the book of James, today the focus is in the choice to serve ourselves or to serve God. And the writer doesn't hold back. He makes the choices pretty simple for us, through the clear but very blunt options for living. Wisdom or foolishness, peace or enmity, friend of the world or enemy of God, submission to God or submission to the devil, come near to God or live apart. Each one of those opposing choices is listed throughout this section of James's letter. It can make for quite uncomfortable, difficult reading, and that's because we don't usually see these things as either or, but we tend to see them on a scale. Take chapter 4, verse 4. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. And I think most of us see ourselves as sitting somewhere in between that. Not an enemy of God and not heading anywhere towards that. But we have that feeling of actually, yeah, no, we are friends of the world. We need to be friends of the world. If someone says to you, you're either my friend or theirs, and you can't be both, it feels pretty harsh and unreasonable. I'd say even childish. And that's probably because as children, we were given that choice, weren't we, when there were any fallouts. You're either their friend or mine, and you can't be both. I hope that it hasn't happened to you in adulthood. Of course, when we look at what's meant by the writings of James, we can't take it entirely literally. It's not really about turning the world into our enemy, because that wouldn't be in keeping with God's will for us either. God created the world for us to enjoy. Why shouldn't we appreciate and care for it? We're actually called to be good stewards of the earth, so we don't want to be enemies with it. It's God's creation. In a similar way, we're called to love one another while we're in the world, to create and maintain human friendship. That's really important. So to make sense of the passage and the choices that it presents us with, it's important to draw out the essence of James's warning, that meaning which runs as a thread through all of the options that we're given. You may remember, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, that the book of James is very much about reminding us and re-emphasizing the teachings of Jesus. And today's section of James picks up on Jesus's teaching in Matthew 6, verses 19 to 24. This is the part of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus warns against us being so focused on worldly things that we lose sight of eternal life. I'll just read Matthew 6, verse 24, and you'll recognise the warning in it. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. So yes, it is about our choices. But really, it's about our priorities. I know we'll all understand about that. In our lives, we often have to make choices based on our priorities, and that can very often involve sacrifice. Teenagers in the school system have to narrow down their options of study, don't they? They do all the subjects, or as many as the school can manage, and then they have to reduce them to about eight, isn't it, usually, for GCSEs. And then if they continue on, they have to narrow down even further, down to about three A levels, that kind of thing. Then anyone who goes on to a degree, or they move into further study, or even into further training in a certain skill, they have to narrow down to often one area in order to be really good in that one area. And look at sporting figures. Very often they start as all-rounders, but the very best of the best eventually have to pick their one sport so that they can become elite in it. Now, I am very conscious here that I am using worldly examples to highlight the meaning of this section of James. And not only that, but I'm using examples, scenarios, which are demonstrating the very thing that we're being warned against: selfish ambition and a focus on earthly gain and earthly achievements. Of course, we don't become an enemy of God by working, studying and playing hard, or even achieving awards and accolades. We separate ourselves from God whenever we're motivated by self-gain. Because when we're motivated by self-gain, we are not being motivated by our love for God. And that is the meaning at the heart of our reading today. That misplaced motivation is then going to manifest itself in how we behave and how we treat others, which is something that we've looked at a lot over recent weeks. You've probably also heard me talk about spiritual health checks, because I think they're really important. And here in James 3, verse 17, there is a very clear, very easy spiritual health check. James lists the outcomes of a life being lived with our focus on God and not on ourselves, on our lives being focused on eternal life rather than earthly life. I'll read them now, but do go back to them later and reflect on where you're at, because if they're missing or lacking in your life, then it's time to go back to God, to say sorry to God, and to ask God for his help in making changes. So here we go. Are we pure? Are we peace-loving? Are we considerate? Are we submissive to God, that is? Are we full of mercy? Are we exhibiting good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit? Are we impartial? And are we sincere? That's the list which should have lots of ticks by it. But then, of course, there's the list we don't want ticks by. If we're living selfishly with me and I, not God and others in the focus, then these are the ones that we're going to tick a lot. So let's have a look at that opposite list that's presented in James. Do you fight with those around you? Do you argue with those around you? Do you strive to get the things that you want at the cost of others? Do you ask God for things that only serve to comfort and please you? Do you envy others? Do you covet what others have? That is, you want what they have. And if the answer to those questions is yes, then we should have some spiritual health alarm bells ringing that things are not as they should be in our life. I think if we're absolutely honest with ourselves, the vast majority of us will have at least some ticks on this list at any given time. We probably have some ticks most of the time in the first section, the healthy section, but maybe we don't have ticks by all of them. But as I say, it's just a means that we need to rethink what's motivating us. And we just need to go back to God, who forgives us, who transforms us, who gives us daily strength and wisdom to live better. When we're willing, that is. As it says in chapter 4, verse 6, he gives us more grace. Grace, of course, is God's love and favour for us, even when we don't deserve it. And there's that promise in verse 5. That we have the Holy Spirit living within us, guiding us and strengthening us daily when we allow him to. Just let's not get distracted by the world's pleasures and demands. Let's not allow them to twist our priorities. Let's not allow the wrong motivations to take over what's going on in our lives.